Peace, God.
Peace to the God.
How you, God?
I'm studying 120 right now. Call me back at the God hour.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
All right, for the second time in the pod's history, I got my dad back on.
Hey.
You were back. You were on episode two of the pod. Do you remember that day?
I absolutely do.
Yeah. You made a bold bet on the Tennessee Titans to win a playoff game, and they did. They pulled it off in, what was that, Kansas City?
I believe so.
Yeah. So welcome back. Finally, we did this. I mean, you know, we talked about doing it in person so many times, it never happened, but we're back.
I feel honored.
Yeah. Yeah. Episode 36, in honor of the 36 chambers of the Wu-Tang Clan. So I'm sure you're thrilled about that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. A lot going on in New York sports. That's why I needed someone to jump on. No juice, no pancakes. So I needed someone to jump on, and
I was the only game in town.
Yeah, you were one of the games in town. Just scoot up a little bit, getting the mic. So let's start with the obvious. NBA free agency kicks off in about 72 hours.
Yeah, 6 p.m. Sunday.
6 p.m. Sunday. Huge year for the Knicks. They got a little over $70 million. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a lot of noise that KD, Kyrie, they're going to Brooklyn. I don't believe any of it. I think it's all noise. I think the media hates the Knicks. And honestly, with Jim Dolan as the owner, with the way they've handled themselves the last 20 years, I don't blame the media, but it does kind of get annoying. I still think they're going there. But if it was up to you, all the free agents out there, you got Klay Thompson, you got Kawhi, you got Julius Randle, D'Angelo Russell, KD, Kyrie, whatever. Who are the two guys that you want on this Knicks roster?
I want Kawhi. And if I knew, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that we'd have at least KD at 90% of his old self, I take KD along with Kawhi.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously the dream. That's who I would want, obviously. Now, Kawhi, he's being rumored. I think he either stays in Toronto. Did you hear about this? He was 2 or 3 days after they won the finals. He was at Home Depot. He was spotted at Home Depot with some boxes. And people were speculating, was that for the house he's going to buy in Toronto? Or is he moving out of whatever apartment or townhouse he was staying at?
Didn't they say he bought a house in Toronto?
No, he bought a house in San Diego or somewhere in Southern California.
San Diego.
So he's from the Inland Empire. So he's an LA kid.
Right.
So all the speculation is he'll go to the Clippers. Do I think he'll join the Lakers? Hell no. Why would he want to be a third-tier star next to LeBron and AD? He just won the finals. You know, basically without any superstars. I mean, Pascal Siakam, I think, is going to become a superstar. But, I mean, Kyle Lowry, Danny Green, Marcus Gasol, you know. These are role players. Not role players, but like good players, all-stars, but, you know, not superstars. So I think he goes to the Clippers and pairs with like a Jimmy Butler. They already have a pretty good squad. Now, I just saw on the Twitter that Klay Thompson, if he doesn't get the max from the Warriors, he's going to look at the Clippers and the Lakers. So that's kind of interesting. I think Klay Thompson would be the perfect third superstar on the Lakers to go with LeBron and AD. I mean, that's an easy championship right there.
Yeah, I would agree with that because he seems to be the guy that has the least ego. You know, a guy that can just kind of fit in and be a star.
Yeah.
Without having to have the spotlight on him.
He's right.
Not a LeBron or a Kawhi or an AD or a Durant. He can just fit in, do whatever he needs to do. And if you need him to score, you know, 30, he can drop 30.
Yeah.
If someone else takes over that night, he's okay with that.
Yeah.
So he's a super player. I think he's probably one of the most underappreciated players in the NBA.
Oh, easy.
But I think he's staying at Golden State.
I think so too. I think it's a no-brainer to stay at Golden State. You know, him and Steph have a chance to be the greatest backcourt of all time. I think they might be the greatest backcourt of all time. I mean, I'm trying to think who you know of a better one. You know, Isaiah and Joe Dumars. No.
You had Clyde and Earl the Pearl.
Earl the Pearl.
You had Clyde and Dick Barnett.
Yeah.
You had Gail Goodrich and Jerry West.
Yeah.
You had some great backcourts over the years.
But I think these two are the best ever. I mean, they're both top five all-time in shooting.
Game. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to compare yours. It really is.
Yeah, it is. This is definitely the three-pointer. But I think he's staying. He's going to be out till February or March. And I think they're going to give him the max because I think KD's leaving, Boogie's leaving. Now, the Knicks are speculating. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah.
I almost died. I do not want Boogie Cousins.
Yeah, no.
He's going to boogie down Broadway?
Yeah. not happening. He's probably the least of the free agents out there. He's probably the one I'd like the least.
Yeah.
I'm not crazy about Jimmy Butler either. You know, he's a good player, but he's kind of...
Bit of a troublemaker.
Yeah, he's kind of toxic. Now, he's rumored to go to Houston to pair with Chris Paul and...
James Harden.
I mean, talk about toxic, getting those three in a room. My God, they might kill each other. I think Philly would have to do a sign and trade to pull that one off. I go back to KD and Kyrie with all the noise. Why would they want to be hated in their own city? They're two very sensitive guys, probably two of the most sensitive superstars we have out there in sports, not even just the NBA.
Right.
Why would they, if they're going to come to New York, play for the team that has, what, maybe 10% of the fan base? I mean, do you know any Nets fans? Do you personally know any Nets fans? I know.
Yes.
I know maybe like five of them.
Ginny and Kyle are Nets fans, but they were big Nets fans. We're still in New Jersey, since they're New Jerseyans.
Right. Right.
Since they've moved to Brooklyn, their interest has waned, but they weren't ever Knicks fans, so they still root for the Nets.
Right.
Aside from that, look, the way I look at the Nets is the way I look at the Clippers. Who will always be
second fiddle.
A second fiddle in that market. Hopefully no one takes offense to this. The Mets, second fiddle to the Yankees.
Right.
But you know, the Angels, second fiddle to the Dodgers.
But the difference with that is, now the Yankees, they maybe have like one of the biggest fan bases in sports, but there are a lot of Mets fans. They have a huge base.
Yeah,
there's a lot of Jets fans. They have a huge base.
Yep.
There's no Nets fans. I mean, there couldn't be more of a disparity. I actually think there's more Clippers fans than Nets fans, maybe even.
Yeah, you're probably right. But, I mean, as cool and as chic and as hip as Brooklyn is, and it might be kind of cool if they decide they want to put Brooklyn on the map.
I guess.
As far as they're never going to convert the Knicks fans.
No.
Because the Knicks fans... When the team's as lousy as it's been,
yeah.
So they're never gonna make me walk away from the Knicks.
No,
worst
record in team history, and they still
sold out every night.
Yeah, game 82. Where I don't know if the last the last home game, whatever, sold out.
Yeah.
And the fans cheering like it's game 7 in the finals. It's
exactly.
Just imagine it once they're in serious playoff games. And you know what?
I can dream.
I think KD knows this. I think Kyrie knows this. KD, I've said this ad nauseum, his manager, Rich Kleinman, New Yorker, huge Knicks fan. I highly doubt he'd push him to go play for the Nets. Unless he's got a vendetta or there's some sort of beef with James Dolan. I got to think, if these guys are not going to go to the Knicks, it's clearly because of James Dolan. Because Scott Perry, Steve Mills, David Fizdale, they seem like good guys. They seem well-respected around the league. So I got to think, you know, the Knicks, I think they've been doing the right things lately. What's the one thing that, you know, you worry about with the Knicks? It's the common denominator. It's James Dolan. He's been the constant since they've been awful. Well, so, you know, if they don't get these guys and they got to sign, you know, some B-list stars, or they don't even do that, the fans are going to be outraged. And, you know, maybe Dolan, maybe it forces his hand. Maybe he finally sells the team. I don't know.
Well, a couple of things. You know, everybody, we were all so excited about, you know, being able to sign two max free agents, right?
Right. Yeah.
And then KT ruptures his Achilles.
Yeah.
And, you know, any thought of trading the number one pick or the number three pick for AD, that goes by the wayside as well.
Yeah.
But I've heard a lot of Knicks fans talking about, all right, you know what? Let's build it the right way. You know, we got Mitchell Robinson.
Yes.
We've got RJ Barrett.
Yes.
You know, we've got, you know, guys like Trier, you know, a decent young nucleus. Let's build
the French Prince.
What do we have? 6-7 number one picks between now and 2021 or 22.
Well, they got the two from the Mavs and the Porzingis trade. And,
so, yeah. You know, we have an opportunity to build the team the right way.
For sure, yeah.
Then the other thing, you know, and I'm not a real conspiracy theorist, but just a thought. You know, maybe Kyrie has been doing all this yapping about going to Brooklyn because he's setting up a smokescreen. Maybe he and KD have already done a wink, wink, nod, nod with the Knicks.
Yeah.
But they don't want to see the Knicks get fined for tampering or have to give up, you know, draft picks for tampering.
Right.
And going to the Nets is really just a smokescreen when in reality they still plan on signing with the Nets.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. It's funny because I think the media hates the Knicks. Max Kellerman, for example, New Yorker, was a huge Knicks fan for his whole life.
Right.
Until 5-6 years ago, he said, fuck the Knicks, I'm out, I'm done, and became a Lakers fan. Now, all he does is hate on the Knicks. He hates them. I think it's mostly because of James Dolan. I mean, it's like James Dolan, you know, banged his wife or something like that. I mean, he can't stand it.
This is a family podcast.
But then you have Stephen A. Smith on the other side, you know, First Take, who's a diehard Knicks fan. And even he today said that he's hearing both of them, done deal, going to the Nets. When in May, he's on the Michael Kay show, he's saying, done deal, they're going to the Knicks. So it's just like every day it changes. I don't know. I'm, you know, if they don't get these two guys, it'll be disheartening. But if, like, KD decides to stay with the Warriors and Kyrie maybe just signs with the Nets, or Kyrie ends up going to the Lakers and signs over there, because now they just opened up money for a max to sign another max player.
Oh, yeah, because they traded three players to the Wizards.
Right, yeah. And then I guess Anthony Davis, something with a $4 million. I forget what he did. He did something to help them out. He also got LeBron's number. I don't know if you heard that. LeBron,
yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, so I guess LeBron's going to go back to number 6, which he had in Miami. And AD's going to wear 23. So whatever. But yeah, I think if KD and Kyrie both go to the Nets, I mean, how disheartening would that be? You know, just the fact that, I mean, talk about the troll job that the Knicks already get. I mean, it would just be complete, you know, shitting all over them. And it's funny because, you know, fans aren't going to switch over. They're going to still stick with the Knicks, or they're just going to lose interest, you know, some of them.
Well, it'll be compelling. I mean, obviously the first year, if that does happen, it's just going to be Kyrie. It's not going to be KD, because he's not playing at all.
Right.
In the 19 and 2020 season.
Correct. Mm.
So it'll be interesting to see how he does with that other group. Quite honestly, I wouldn't spend the money. I like D'Angelo Russell. I think the Nets would be out of their mind to spend that money on Kyrie. I think he's a pain in the ass. Mercurial, and, you know, he's happy.
Good
work. He's unhappy. He's certainly not a number one. He proved that this year in Boston when he melted under the pressure of being the number one.
And I think he knows that, too. Or at least I hope he realizes that you know, he got a little ahead of himself there in Cleveland, you know, head got too big. But now he might join LeBron again. Who knows? Yeah, I mean, me, if they strike out on these guys, Julius Randle is someone I really want them to sign. You know, he's only, I think, 23, 24 years old. Only two players in the league last year averaged 21 or more points, 8 or more rebounds, and 3 or more assists, and shot over, 52% from the floor. Giannis Antetokounmpo and Julius Randle.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, kind of a random stat.
Those are unbelievable.
That's analytics for you, baby. Oh yeah, breaking them out. You only get.
Bring them on.
Yeah. His defense is a little bit to be desired, but if you pair him with Mitchell Robinson, who's a defensive beast, you know, put Randle at the 4, Mitch at the 5. That's a nice little, you know, Randle could be kind of like your go-to guy. RJ Barrett, I think he's a sure thing superstar.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. Did you read the Sports Illustrated article?
Yes, I did.
On him?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Great kid.
Great kid. Yeah. I can't wait to see him play here.
Yeah. The Maple Mamba. grandfather was a diehard Knicks fan. Told him when he was 12 years old, you're going to be a Knick.
Yep.
Now he's a Knick. He's ecstatic.
Mother was an athlete.
Yeah.
Father's an athlete.
Played at St. John's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Both New Yorkers.
Yep.
So, it's a great fit. And then they signed, Iggy Brazdeikis from Michigan, which it's so funny because I remember watching him in college this past year. Like the beginning of the season, I'm like, who's this ugly 90s looking white guy? But he was killing it. He was talking shit. He kind of reminds me, you know, he's like a Chris Mullin. You know, he's a lefty. You know, doesn't look like he's in that great a shape, but, you know, he does it all. He's a great shooter. And he's got that killer instinct. I think he's going to be great at the Garden, great for New York. So that was a nice pickup in the second round. They actually traded up a few picks to get him, but.
And we don't have to wait all that long to see what happens because, you know, like you said, free agency starts on Sunday at 6, and October's not that far away for the NBA season.
So. No. Did you hear what they're talking about? It's not huge news yet, but what the NBA officials are talking about.
Oh, shortening the season?
Yeah, to 58 games and having a mid-season tournament.
That, I think, sucks. Having a mid-season cup.
Kind of like, I guess, how soccer does it, how, you know, like, you know, I can't follow. I love soccer, don't get me wrong, but I can't follow any of the leagues and stuff that they do because of stuff like that, because there's all these mid-season cups and championship league and Champions League, I mean, and friendlies and Premier League and this and that.
Stay away from
it. It's a lot. Yeah. I do agree with shortening the season, though. I think it should be like 70 games. I think 70.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, like 70 or 68 games or something
just
like that.
It just goes too long.
Yeah. Plus the players are getting beaten down, you know?
Oh, poor guys.
Yeah, we should probably never feel bad for NBA players. They get paid.
Never ever.
Quite a bit. I'm trying to think what else in free agency is going on. Yeah, I mean, we just got to wait and see. I think if I had to predict. I think the Nets are going to get some guys. I think they're going to get Tobias Harris. I think a J.J. Redick will go there. I mean, that's two Sixers right there, so that might be stretching it. But I think D'Angelo may re-sign. Or D'Angelo may go to the Lakers, they're saying. Which
he came from there.
But Magic was the one that traded him. You know, now Magic's gone, so now he might come back. I know. But that's all the noise right now.
Let's see.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. Who knows? I can't wait. I checked Twitter every freaking 5 seconds. I can't get enough of it. All the rumors. People love this shit. It's so funny how like you see like people talking like saying, you know, NBA free agency over the actual NBA season. You know, it's more exciting.
Yeah, it's like Game of Thrones. Everybody was wrong.
Right.
Brand the broken.
Yeah.
Bite me.
Yeah.
All right.
Forget it.
Nice time to be a Yankee fan.
Great time to be a Yankee fan.
Really is.
Until postseason when pitching counts.
Yeah. That, you know, look, I still think they'll do something. If it's one thing you can rely on Cashman to do is, you know, he'll pull the trigger on a deal. Now,
Bumgarner?
I could go for Mad Bum. I think you could probably get him for giving up less than you would a Marcus Stroman.
Right.
Only because his numbers the last couple of years have been down a tick a little bit. But, you know, in this regard, I kind of agree with Fatso in that I think he hasn't been highly motivated. He's been playing on a very bad Giants team.
Yeah, they're one of the worst teams in the league right now.
For a couple of years, yeah. They can't hit.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of, you know, not going through the motions, but, you know, he's not fired up. He's not trying to prove himself. He's looking more to get out of there, I think, than
right.
than be there. But, you know, he's still hanging on to a lot of leverage because the Yanks are on his no-trade list.
Yeah.
Which means that they're just going to have to pony up more dollars in order to get him to come here and then...
I didn't see a no-trade list.
Yeah.
So who's on it?
Every contending team.
Why?
Because he can manipulate that.
He
knows who's okay. going to be in contention. It was the Red Sox, the Astros, the Yankees,
Dodgers.
The Cubs, the Dodgers. They were all on the no-trade list. Every contending team. So that if the Giants want to trade him to one of those teams, he gets more leverage because he said he didn't want to go there. So they're going to have to pony up more money, and he makes out like a big dog. They're going to have to sweeten the pot. Pretty smart.
It's smart. The guy's definitely a dick, for sure.
He can be a dick.
Yeah. But like, you want that? You want like a fighter? He's like a fighter on the mound.
Well,
we know.
We know he's got. We know he's got the balls to pitch in the postseason.
Right.
He's a big time pitcher.
Yeah.
So let's see. I could go for him. Look, there's you know, the only lockdown guy right now is Scherzer.
Mm.
That could potentially be available. But the Nats now are within a couple of games of the wild card.
Yeah, they're not going to...
They're starting to play better.
Yeah.
I don't think Mike Rizzo is going to shop Max Scherzer.
No.
And the Nationals are going to ask for Gleyber Torres.
Right.
And I don't give up Gleyber Torres for anything.
No.
22 years old, the kid's got superstar written all over
him. Yeah.
You know... Clutch hitter, knows how to shorten his swing,
right.
to drive in a run, and hopefully they all learn a little bit from DJ LeMahieu,
who's like MVP right now.
Exactly, just made the All Star team.
Yeah, who else made the All Star team from the
Yankees? I think Sanchez did, and I'm not sure who else. I don't know if Gleyber Torres did.
Right.
But no,
yeah.
Yankees, you know, right now, they're just playing good ball.
Yeah.
And they've been very fortunate in that even games where the bullpen falters, the offense is there to pick them up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, Britton hasn't been great. Ottavino's been terrific. You know, Chad Green seems to be his old self again.
Yeah.
Chapman's an e-ticket ride.
Right.
You know.
What's up with Betances? When's he come back?
I don't know. I don't think there's... I think they were talking about him throwing off of a mound this week.
Okay.
So he's a ways away if he hasn't thrown off a mound yet. But yeah, it's been fun watching him. You know, right? And I've got a different feeling about this team. You know, the depth is absolutely incredible. I mean, you know, Giancarlo Stanton's been a non-factor this year.
Your boy.
And, I mean, if he doesn't come back this year...
You'll be happy.
It's not that I'm going to be happy. It's that I honestly don't miss. And I know he's got, you know, he can hit the ball a country mile. That's wonderful. But boy, I really appreciate a guy like DJ LeMahieu. The guy that's really, really surprised me is Luke Voit.
I love Luke Voit.
You know, when he came up last year, I would have swore he was a, you know, like a Palooka Joe, a flash in the pan.
Right.
But to watch him now, it seems like every time he comes up in the sixth or seventh inning, he's already 1-for-3. You know, he's been hovering around 265,
yeah,
you know, all season long. Shortens up his swing, knows how to get base hits.
Yeah.
And has done a pretty decent job at first base. It ain't pretty, but he works hard at it.
Yeah.
And you gotta love the guy, and I think he's for real.
Yeah.
But they're deep. I mean, anybody
in
that
deep
batting order can hit a home run.
Yeah.
And now we've got a few more guys that will, you know, work the count and get base hits. So they've been a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
They really have.
Yeah. I mean, first few months it was like, who's this? Who's that? And didn't matter.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, it's cool. I mean, if there's, you know, one thing about the Yankees, you can never, you know, they're just one of those teams. They're always going to be in it, you know. They're always going to have players whereas, you know, our other teams are just, you know, trying to figure it out. They just don't have the same luck.
So what do you think they're trying to teach Clint Frazier a lesson?
Yeah.
By not adding him to the roster to go to London? They brought up Tauchman and...
Oh, that's messed up.
They could, and Tyro and...
So he couldn't even make the trip?
Right.
Why is that? Why weren't they allowing...
Well, they're leaving him in AAA. They didn't bring him up.
Wow.
So Stanton goes down.
Yeah.
You got a kid that was raking when he was up here.
Oh, I know.
I think he was he's been like 3-for-22 in AAA. Plus, you know, rumor has it he defriended all his Yankee teammates on social media when he got sent down.
Oh, wow.
And I think the team is either tired of his attitude or they're just trying to, you know, teach him a lesson and embarrass him a little bit.
Right.
By bringing a Mike Tauchman up and bringing him to London.
Yeah.
And Cashman's trying to put a spin on it that, you know, we're doing it for defense. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Doing it for defense.
Something must have happened. Like, I get it, he's a hothead, but something more specific must have happened with him.
My guess
in the locker room.
He might rub teammates the wrong way.
I can see that. He looks kind of like a dick. He does. Like, you know, he looks like a hothead and, you know, his hair and, you know, just he just kind of has like a...
Has all his baseball shoes custom made.
Yeah, you know.
Gets these throwback sneakers and he has them put cleats on them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's a dick.
No, but he's like, he's a fun player, but yeah, he's...
Oh, a kid can hit. Fast bat.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's a pure hitter.
Yeah.
He's a pure hitter. And I don't think he's going to be awful defensively.
No.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, he's been in the Bumgarner, you know, rumors. He's kind of like the leader in that, you know.
Yeah.
Those rumors, yeah.
Well, but I don't think the Yankees have done themselves any favor, though, by trying to teach him a lesson now, because it just raises a red flag.
Right.
That the kid could be potential trouble.
Yeah.
So you might chase a few general managers away by doing what you do.
Right.
So, I don't know. Maybe I'm misreading it.
Yeah.
Maybe they legitimately feel like they do want a better defensive outfielder to replace Stanton.
Yeah.
But
I
don't buy it.
Yeah.
I don't buy it.
We'll see. But if they're going to make a trade before the deadline, it's got to be Ace. That's it. That's really it.
Yeah, but there aren't many out there. There aren't many bona fide aces out there.
I know.
There's no Chris Sale. You know, there's no Justin Verlander.
No.
Although the Yankees passed on Verlander when the Astros grabbed him.
And he's made him pay for it ever since.
Well,
they can't touch him.
Yeah. And, you know, look, he was a guy that got rejuvenated, right?
Yeah.
Playing for a crappy Detroit Tiger team.
Yeah.
Got caught up in the malaise of playing on a B division team, and then goes to Houston, and he's the old Verlander.
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing.
Being married to Kate Upton doesn't hurt either.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah, that'll keep you motivated.
Not too shabby. All right, Jets.
Oh boy, once again, looking forward to football season, but I, you know. Been looking forward to football season for years.
Well, I was just saying this. This is the most excited I've been for a Jets season in, I don't know, probably 9 years. Since 2010, since the second season, since the Hard Knocks season.
Okay.
When they went back to the AFC Championship game. Because after that was, you know, Sanchez in his third year. They just lost the AFC Championship back-to-back years. Victor Cruz runs 99 yards.
Yep.
And ever since then, ever since that run, it's just been downhill.
Yeah.
Everything went to shit. So, yeah, it's, you know, like 9 years, you know, since I've really been excited for a Jets season. Really optimistic and hopeful for the future.
Yeah, I mean, I'm keeping my fingers crossed that, you know, that Sam has a good sophomore year.
Yeah.
You know, they got a few weapons around him, certainly. Le'Veon Bell.
They got a couple receivers. You know.
They'll feature Anunua again. You know, I think, you know,
Robbie
should have a good year.
I think Robbie Anderson should have a good year.
Powell's back.
Bilal, our boy Bilal. Herndon, I think, was one of Sam's, you know, favorite targets.
And, you know, if they can snag themselves and make a deal for an O lineman.
Well, center. They need a center.
That would be sweet.
McCagnan, may he rest in peace. You know, definitely not. No, he didn't prioritize the center at all, so I don't know what they're gonna do there, but you know, we'll see with Joe Douglas, the mountain, you know, what he's got in store. Shouts to Pancakes. He's been over this guy. Every time they hire a new, you know, assistant VP of personnel, you know, one of these, like, you know, one of his staff members or whatever, you know, Paul goes crazy because he's like, oh, this guy's well respected and this guy's his staff is amazing. And, you know, I don't know shit about any of that, you know. But the fact that people are saying this is a great hire, this guy's well respected.
Oh yeah, well at least it's better than schlubs that we were bringing in.
Right. Yeah. Every
you know,
guy they
Johnson's a terrible owner.
Yeah.
You know, and all that.
Every GM they would bring in, it'd be like, what? Like, what the, you know, head scratcher.
Right.
So that's exciting. The new uniforms.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a fresh start.
Yeah.
You know, Adam Gase, new coach.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited. It's not just the Johnny Poole. It's not just, you know, the regular NFL BS. I'll actually like sit down and like really watch Jet games, which I haven't done in a while. It's been like rooting for them to lose. Like, I don't want Fitzpatrick as our quarterback. I don't want Bowles as our coach. I want them to lose games.
No. I agree. There are actually players that we want to watch, that we want to see perform between Sam and Le'Veon Bell. You know, I wasn't thrilled with that signing.
Right.
I think the guy's a jerk, but you know, let's see. If he can run like he did with Pittsburgh.
To be a double threat.
And be a double threat, take a lot of pressure off of Sam.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Did you hear what happened with Le'Veon Bell down in Miami?
What, with the girls?
The two girls.
Stole his jewelry?
Yeah.
$500,000 worth of jewelry?
Something like that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you.
Yeah.
When you're born dumb, it's for a long time.
Yeah. he was dropping his, recording his rap album or whatever he was doing. I mean, we'll see. We'll find out how, you know, good a shape he's in. And, you know, he was late getting to OTAs and whatnot. And, you know, and that's kind of like what's happening with Odell Beckham with the Browns. You know, I think he's been there, you know, a certain amount of days, a few months now he's been on the team, and he's only been at the Browns practice facility, you know, like 3 days or some shit like that, and he was getting crap for it. But, if that is indeed true, I think the Giants may have made the right move getting rid of him if he really is kind of like a, you know, disturbance in the locker room and a diva, which he's definitely a diva. I mean, there's no denying that.
Yeah, the Giants are, they may be more interesting than the Jets.
Why? Because of Daniel Jones?
Yes, and let's see how quickly they make a move
on
Eli.
You got booed at Yankee Stadium.
Oh, that was terrible.
Yeah.
Come on, it's not his fault.
But that could be Jet fans, that could be Cowboy fans.
It wasn't Jet fans. Come on.
Or it could be Giant fans.
Yeah, it was Giant fans.
Okay. Yeah.
It was Giant fans.
Maybe a little bit of everything.
And I think they were booing the Giants and probably Gettleman.
Yeah.
More than they were booing Daniel Jones because, look, I know a ton of Giant fans. And for every Giant fan that's an Eli supporter, there's a Giant fan that was never enamored with Eli.
Right.
So they were booing Daniel Jones being the number one selection for the Giants.
Right.
Feeling that, hey, if he had been drafted in the second round, even if he had been drafted as the 17th pick
right.
in the first round,
yeah,
they probably would have been okay with it.
Yeah.
But the fact that he went before an edge rusher,
right.
which they desperately needed,
yeah,
I think that's what they were booing about.
Yeah.
Not the guy personally.
Right.
But,
right.
you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting with the Giants. Maybe they are really rebuilding, or maybe, you know, maybe Gettleman knows what he's doing. Who the freak knows? The guy, you know, claims he invented football.
Yeah.
We'll see. They're, you know, these guys are smarter than all of us.
He's a masshole.
Yeah, he is. Okay. Excited to get to Saratoga, get to the track.
Yeah, summer. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
State AT. Yeah, baby.
Yeah. You know, as excited I get for horse racing, I mean, this whole thing with, you know, we were talking earlier, Santa Anita, 30 horses. Is it just that track have died since January?
Well, that 30 just at Santa Anita, yes.
That's insane.
It's
6 months.
I believe it's unprecedented. I mean, horses die around the country, around the world from racing. I mean, it's just one of the perils of
the sport.
Of course, of the sport.
Yeah.
If they get a serious enough injury, and there's no way to stabilize a horse without injuring themselves more, they have to destroy the animal.
Right.
And, you know, those are the types of injuries that the horses have been getting at Santa Anita. And you know, I don't think they've come up with anything conclusive. There were theories early on that it was caused by the climate change out there, the fact that they had so much rain
right.
in January and February, and how it affected the track surface. Horses were getting injured, and then, you know, trainers were not necessarily doing their due diligence in getting the horse fully recovered before putting them out on the track again. You know, what they did to try and slow that down a little bit was they were closing the track for workouts.
Mm.
So there was no workouts going on for, I believe, a week or two. But they continued to race.
Yeah.
And just this week, you know, when the 30th horse ended up dying over the weekend, actually a Hall of Fame trainer, Jerry Hollendorfer, was banned from Santa Anita because four of his horses have died since January.
Jesus.
So, you know, there is shortage of racehorses, which is true.
Okay.
Because, you know, if you watch, and I do this, you know, with my racing app, when I'm bored out of my mind, I will, you know, make a wager or two.
Right.
You know, dead of winter, boring Sunday afternoon, whatever. I've never seen so many races where there are only six or seven horses entered in the race.
Right.
You know, the state governments, you know, the like NYRA, New York Racing Association, they demand that the tracks be open X number of days, that they have X number of racing days.
Yeah.
And trainers are probably racing horses sooner than they should, you know, back to back.
Yeah.
Typically, a horse would run, you know, maybe every 2.5 weeks. Now you see some horses that are racing on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
And that puts added stress on the animal.
Yeah.
Why it's happening so frequently at Santa Anita,
it's shady,
as opposed to other tracks. You know, one of the things that they've said about Belmont's actually gotten accolades for the relative few horses that have even gotten injured.
Right.
So, what's going on at Santa Anita is really kind of mind-boggling.
Yeah, shady. I mean, yeah. The fact that it's only happening there. Not only happening, but happening in record numbers there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Like, you're not fooling anyone over there. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
You know, people have always kind of, you know, looked down their nose a little bit or kind of been concerned about horse racing in one way or another.
Oh, of course, yeah.
You know, question whether there's legitimacy all the time and when the fix is in and things like that.
So, yeah.
But this is completely different than that.
Right.
No one ever wants to see an animal like that have to get destroyed. I mean, these are beautiful, beautiful animals.
Yeah.
I mean, they're athletes, quite honestly.
Yeah.
And I know the other day there was quite the protest at Santa Anita where there were, you know, the animal lovers outside the gate, you know, yelling at the fans that were going in to practice. You know, that's an uncomfortable feeling, boy. You know, you feel dirty going in there and supporting it. You know,
I know. That's the thing. It's like, you know, Saratoga Racetrack, what makes it so special, it's only open 6 weeks, the whole year.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
Matter of fact, I think they're extending it this year, but they're closing it an extra day. Is that what it is?
Well, it's not open Mondays.
I thought it was Tuesdays as well.
Well, correct.
Yeah.
But they were always dark on Tuesday.
On Tuesday. Now it's Monday and Tuesday. But
I think
two
Wednesday
extra weeks.
As well. I think the racing is Thursday to Sunday.
But two extra weeks.
But two extra weeks.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, the entire economy, I believe, for the year for the city of Saratoga is reliant upon the tourism that's attracted,
generated from that, and from SPAC, and from SPAC, I mean, it's a great city. I think it has a lot of business, but yeah, I mean, tourism for sure. Yeah.
Exactly.
But just like any city, you know, of course.
But that 6 weeks makes or breaks them
for sure. But I mean, they get celebrities, they get people from all over the Northeast, all over the country, maybe even know, like, so
that's
it's always
cool
going to do well.
I've enjoyed going up there.
It's great, but it's, you know, it's kind of like shit. Like these horses, you know, behind the scenes, you know, it's kind of scary. But all right, anything else? Who do we talk about? The Mets? Should we even bother? Nah.
The Mets.
What, they lost 15 games in June? Something like that.
Something ridiculous. Yeah. 20 blown saves.
Yeah.
20 blown saves.
Mickey Callaway, he's too nice. Who was it? Art Howe? Wasn't he another Mets manager? He was just too nice, you know? Yeah. I don't know where they find these guys. It's gotta be tough being a Mets fan.
I find it hysterical to hear all the Met fans calling in begging for Joe Girardi. And for years, you had all the Yankees calling in looking for Girardi's head when he was here.
Yeah.
Now, you know me. I love Girardi.
You love him.
I'm a Joe man.
Yeah.
Okay? But it's just comical.
Yeah.
But I think, quite honestly, he'd be really good for the Mets. I think he's an outstanding manager.
Yeah.
He'd restore order.
Yeah.
He'd hold players accountable. I mean, one of the reasons why he's not here is that he was trying to hold Gary Sanchez accountable.
Right.
And trying to make him a better catcher.
Yeah.
And they didn't like the way he was, you know, getting all over Sanchez. And I think that's one of the reasons why Joe is no longer here.
Yeah. Well, he's also there 10 years. But
Yeah.
But, all right, cool.
All right.
Thanks for doing this.
Hey, Dad and Lad.
Yeah. Well, let's do it again soon. Someone wants to say hi. Say hi.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
All right. That's it.
Doing well.
Oh, introduce me.
That's my mother. We call her Lizzie.
Hi.
And, maybe she'll get on someday.
Yeah, maybe someday if you invite me.
Yeah, maybe. All right. All right. Take care. Comb your hair.
See ya.
Welcome. You're all welcome.